Welcome back to the Mbago Media Finance Podcast. Today, we're diving deep into Richemont's Q2 2026 results, a report that gives us a fantastic window into the complex and ever-changing world of luxury goods. It's a story with some truly bright spots and areas that require a bit more strategic maneuvering, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It's fascinating because while some parts of their business are booming, others are definitely navigating choppier waters. We're going to go beyond the surface-level numbers to really understand what's driving these results and what it tells us about the luxury market as a whole. It's a perfect blend of enduring desirability and the need for constant adaptation.
Let's start with what's clearly the crown jewel, high jewelry. Brands like Cartier and Van Cleef & Arpels have once again shown incredible strength. What do you think is behind this consistent resilience, even when the global economy feels a bit shaky?
That's a great question. I think a huge part of it is the intrinsic value that high jewelry represents. In uncertain times, people are drawn to tangible assets that hold their worth, and luxury jewelry, especially pieces from heritage brands, fits that bill perfectly. Think about Cartier's Love or Trinity collections, or Van Cleef & Arpels iconic Alhambra motifs. These aren't just beautiful objects, they're symbols of lasting value and artistry.
Exactly. It's that emotional connection and the idea of heirloom quality. These pieces tell a story, marking significant life events or celebrating exquisite craftsmanship. It's a narrative that transcends fleeting trends and economic ups and downs, offering a sense of permanence. And the craftsmanship itself is a huge draw, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The unparalleled craftsmanship is non-negotiable. It's what allows these brands to connect so deeply with their clientele, positioning their pieces as more than just adornment, their investments in artistry and legacy. This intrinsic value proposition is incredibly powerful, acting as a real anchor in a volatile market.
When we look at the geographical breakdown for high jewelry, Asia, especially Greater China, continues to be a major driver. However, it seems the consumer there is becoming more discerning. What are you seeing in terms of regional performance?
You're right, Greater China is still key, but it's evolving. Consumers there are increasingly seeking out unique pieces with a strong story and artisanal background, not just established brand names. Europe is also performing well, boosted by tourism and strong domestic demand. The Americas show some resilience, particularly for exclusive items, though they can be more sensitive to broader economic shifts. It really highlights how Richemont needs to tailor its approach region by region.
That regional nuance is so important. And speaking of evolving preferences, what about the emerging trends within high jewelry itself? Are there specific shifts in what consumers are looking for?
Definitely. Personalization and customization are huge. Consumers, especially younger affluent ones, want pieces that express their individuality. We're also seeing a move towards more understated, yet exquisitely crafted designs, where the quality speaks for itself rather than relying on overt branding. And crucially, ethical sourcing and sustainability are becoming major factors in purchase decisions, not just a niche concern anymore.
That makes perfect sense. Brands that can authentically communicate their commitment to responsible practices are definitely gaining an edge. Now, in terms of the competitive landscape, Richemont, with Cartier and Van Cleef, holds a dominant position, but is it unchallenged?
It's dominant, but not unchallenged. Independent jewelers are making waves with unique offerings, and other major luxury groups are pouring resources into their jewelry divisions. Richemont's strength lies in its ability to continuously innovate while staying true to its brand identities, offering an incredible breadth of collections, from everyday luxury to high-end haute jewelry. They have a depth that's hard to match.
So, high jewelry is a clear win. Let's shift gears to the watchmaking sector, which the report describes as presenting a more nuanced picture. What are the key dynamics at play here?
The watch sector is indeed more complex. It's a fascinating interplay of supply, demand, and the significant influence of the secondary market. Brands like IWC, Jaeger-LeCoultre, and Painrei are navigating a market that has seen considerable shifts from the post-pandemic surge.
Right, the demand is still there for exceptional timepieces, but the market has recalibrated. How are Richemont's specific watch brands performing within this environment?
Performance varies. Brands with strong iconic models, compelling brand narratives, and clear identities tend to be more consistent. For example, Jaeger-LeCoultre, with its rich history and the iconic Reverso, appeals strongly to watch connoisseurs. IWC resonates with its pilot's watches and elegant complications, while Painright carves out its niche with its distinctive design and nautical-inspired pieces. It's about appealing to specific, passionate clienteles.
It's interesting you mentioned supply chain normalization. For a while, there were major constraints, leading to long waiting lists. Now that supply is catching up, how does that change the game for Richemont?
It means the game has definitely changed. The era of guaranteed waiting lists for everything is largely over. Now, brands need to actively work to maintain desirability and engage consumers. Consistent delivery of appealing products, effective inventory management, and keeping the brand allure strong are more critical than ever. It's a return to a more balanced, but also more competitive, market.
And what about the price points? Is Richemont seeing a shift in the average price consumers are willing to pay for watches?
The ultra-high-end segment remains strong, but there's certainly a growing focus on the accessible luxury space within watches, alongside the continued appeal of those high-complication pieces. Richemont seems to be strategically covering the spectrum, ensuring each brand offers compelling value at its respective price point, whether it's an entry-level automatic or a complex perpetual calendar.
That brings us to a really significant factor, the pre-owned watch market. It's booming, and its influence on new sales is undeniable. How is Richemont tackling this?
This is a critical challenge and opportunity. Richemont's strategy is multi-layered. Firstly, they aim to make new watches so desirable through innovation, limited editions, and superior quality that buying new remains the preferred option. Secondly, and very proactively, they've invested in their own certified pre-owned programs. This allows them to capture value from the secondary market, maintain quality control, and keep a direct line to customers. It's a smart way to integrate and leverage the existing market dynamics.
That's a very strategic approach. And beyond market dynamics, innovation in watchmaking itself continues to be a differentiator. Can you give us some examples?
Absolutely. We're seeing advancements in materials, case design, and subtle tech integration that doesn't compromise the classic watchmaking ethos. Jaeger-LeCoultre's continued reinvention of the Reverso, offering new interpretations and complications, is a prime example. IWC's focus on robust engineering and innovative materials for its pilot's watches appeals to a modern adventurer. And Painright is pushing boundaries with unique case shapes and a commitment to sustainable materials, which is also resonating well.
Fascinating. So, high jewelry is strong, watches are navigating complexity. Now, let's move to the fashion and accessories segment. This sounds like a more dynamic, perhaps more volatile, area. How did it perform?
Fashion and accessories are indeed a dynamic playground, and Richemont's portfolio here tells a story of both challenge and triumph. Brands like Chloe and Alaïa are operating in a space that's perhaps more sensitive to immediate shifts in consumer taste and economic sentiment than jewelry or watches.
Can you elaborate on the performance of specific brands like Chloe and Alaïa? What defines their appeal and their market position?
Chloe, for instance, is in a phase of revitalization under new creative leadership, aiming to recapture its signature blend of bohemian chic and modern femininity. Alaïa, on the other hand, represents a more exclusive, couture-driven aesthetic, appealing to a clientele that prioritizes timeless design and exceptional craftsmanship over fleeting trends. Their performance really hinges on how effectively they can translate their distinct brand identities into commercially successful, contemporary collections.
That makes sense. Given the current economic climate, what are the primary challenges and opportunities for brands in this segment?
The biggest challenge is the discretionary nature of fashion spending. When the economy is uncertain, consumers often prioritize more enduring luxury items like jewelry or watches. Plus, fashion is incredibly competitive and fast-paced, you need constant innovation and a deep understanding of evolving trends. However, the opportunities are significant for brands that can cultivate a strong identity, offer unique designs, and connect emotionally with consumers. And, of course, sustainability and ethical production are becoming key differentiators.
You mentioned digital strategies and DTC channels earlier. How crucial are these for the fashion segment, especially for brands like Chloe and Alaïa?
They are absolutely vital. A strong online presence is non-negotiable now. It allows for direct engagement, a curated brand experience, personalized communication, and invaluable customer data. DTC channels, whether through e-commerce or flagship stores, give Richemont more control over the brand narrative and the customer journey. This direct relationship is key to building loyalty and staying attuned to market demands in real time.
And how does Richemont assess the success of new collections and creative director appointments in this fast-moving segment? It seems like a high-stakes game.
It is. A successful launch or a visionary creative appointment can truly reignite a brand's appeal. Conversely, a misstep can lead to a significant dip. Richemont's strategy typically involves investing heavily in creative talent and providing them with the resources to innovate, while ensuring the brand's core DNA remains intact. The market watches these moves very closely, as they often signal the future direction of these fashion houses.
Moving beyond the individual brands, let's talk about Richemont's overall financial health in Q2 2026. What do the key financial metrics tell us?
Financially, Richemont has demonstrated consistent revenue growth, which is a strong indicator of the enduring appeal of its core brands and its strategic expansion efforts. Analyzing the gross and operating margins across segments is particularly insightful. High jewelry naturally commands higher margins due to its value. The watch division also shows strong margins, though they can vary based on brand positioning. Fashion and accessories, being more competitive, might see more variable margins, making cost management crucial.
And how does Richemont manage its margins across such diverse segments, especially with inflationary pressures?
Their ability to maintain healthy margins across the board, despite inflationary pressures and global economic shifts, really speaks to their operational efficiency and pricing power. It shows a disciplined approach to managing costs while leveraging the strong brand equity they possess.
Looking ahead, the outlook for free cash flow and capital allocation is always a key focus for investors. What's the picture there?
Free cash flow generation is robust, which is crucial. It provides Richemont with the flexibility to reinvest in its brands, pursue strategic acquisitions, return capital to shareholders, and weather economic downturns. Their capital allocation strategy appears disciplined, focusing on high-return investments within their core businesses and strategic growth areas.
And what about their investment strategy in areas like technology, sustainability, and brand development? What does that signal about their long-term vision?
It signals a very forward-thinking approach. They're clearly investing in digital transformation, enhancing e-commerce, data analytics, and CRM systems. Sustainability is treated as a strategic imperative, influencing everything from sourcing to manufacturing. And brand development is ongoing, ensuring each maison stays relevant and desirable. This balance between immediate needs and future growth is fundamental.
Considering these strong financial indicators, what does this suggest for future shareholder returns?
The trajectory looks positive. The consistent growth, healthy profitability, and strong cash flow suggest a company well-positioned for future value creation. Investors are likely anticipating continued disciplined execution, strategic brand investments, and potentially further capital returns, given the strong financial performance.
Now, let's broaden our view to the external forces impacting Richemont, geopolitical currents and economic headwinds. How significant is their influence?
Even for the luxury market, these external factors are significant. Global economic uncertainty, inflation, and geopolitical events can make consumers more cautious with discretionary spending. While the high-end luxury consumer might be somewhat insulated, it still creates a ripple effect. Richemont's diversified portfolio across categories and geographies does help mitigate some of these risks, though.
You mentioned regional variations earlier. Can you elaborate on how different market conditions across key regions are impacting Richemont?
Certainly. Asia, especially Greater China, remains vital but sensitive to domestic economic policies and confidence. Europe often benefits from tourism, but regional stability is key. The Americas are a significant market but can be more exposed to North American economic trends. Richemont's success hinges on its ability to navigate these regional differences and tailor its strategies accordingly.
And currency fluctuations are always a factor for global companies like Richemont. How do they manage that?
Currency fluctuations can impact reported revenues and profitability. For instance, a stronger euro can reduce the value of revenues earned in other currencies. Richemont manages these exposures through hedging strategies and by maintaining a balanced geographical revenue mix, which helps to smooth out some of the volatility.
So, given these potential economic volatilities, what proactive measures is Richemont taking to mitigate risks?
Their strategy is quite comprehensive. It includes maintaining financial discipline and operational efficiency, and crucially, investing in brands that have proven long-term resilience and desirability. Diversification is a key risk mitigation tool, as is their focus on creating exclusive, high-value products that are less sensitive to economic dips. They're also closely monitoring consumer behavior to adapt quickly.
Excellent. We've covered a lot of ground, from the specific segments to the broader financial and economic landscape. Now, let's transition to the conclusion and summarize the key takeaways. What's Richemont's forward-looking perspective?
Looking ahead, Richemont's strategic priorities seem firmly focused on continued growth and innovation. They'll likely continue strengthening their core maisons, like Cartier and Van Cleef & Arpels, while strategically nurturing and revitalizing their fashion and watch brands. Ongoing investments in digital capabilities, customer experience, and supply chain resilience are certainly expected.
And the role of sustainability, you mentioned it as a differentiator. How important is that for building brand perception and loyalty moving forward?
It's becoming paramount. As consumers, especially younger generations, become more aware of the environmental and social impact of their purchases, brands demonstrating a genuine commitment to sustainability will build deeper connections and foster greater loyalty. Richemont's efforts in responsible sourcing, reducing its footprint, and promoting ethical practices are not just good corporate citizenship, they are increasingly becoming a competitive advantage.
That leads us to the next generation of luxury consumers, Gen Z and younger millennials. How is Richemont adapting to their preferences and purchasing habits?
This generation values authenticity, experiences, and brands that align with their values. They are digitally native, socially conscious, and seek personalization and community. Richemont is actively engaging them through social media, influencer collaborations, and by offering products and experiences that resonate with their lifestyle. This includes exploring new digital channels and innovative retail concepts.
Thinking about portfolio strategy, what potential M&A opportunities or divestitures could shape Richemont's future?
Richemont has historically been strategic and patient with M&A. They might look for niche brands that complement their portfolio or enhance specific capabilities. Conversely, divesting non-core assets that don't align with their long-term vision is also possible. The goal is likely to maintain a focused group of high-performing maisons. It's about cultivating an ecosystem where each entity can thrive.
Finally, as we wrap up, what are the absolute key indicators we should be watching for Richemont's continued success in this dynamic luxury market?
First, monitor the performance of its core jewelry maisons, their ability to maintain growth and desirability. Second, observe the watch division as it navigates market normalization and the pre-owned space. Third, look for signs of successful revitalization within its fashion houses. Fourth, keep an eye on its digital transformation and sustainability initiatives, as these are critical for future generations. And lastly, its continued ability to generate strong financial results and free cash flow will underpin its capacity for investment and shareholder returns. Richemont's Q2 2026 journey really encapsulates the essence of modern luxury, a blend of timeless appeal and constant adaptation.
That's a perfect summary. It's clear Richemont is navigating a complex but ultimately promising landscape. Thank you for breaking down these results with us today.
My pleasure. It's always insightful to delve into the strategies of a company like Richemont. Thanks for having me.